confidence to put in more hours, more reps, and more heart to reach a bar that's sky high. Because the Goodyear blimp doesn't show up for just anybody. So don't be just anybody. Be blimp-worthy. Goodyear. More driven.
9:02 in the Saturday Morning Coach's Corner program, and welcome in here from our studios on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Scott Unash with you as we take you through the 9 o'clock hour. Getting ready to talk a lot of golf here today with you on the program as the golf season getting into high gear and getting into the district round coming up this next week and setting the field for the state tournament. We'll talk about that coming up here in just a little bit. As usual, let's take a look at what happened last night, a peek ahead what's coming up today. First of all, in high school football, week 6 last night, one of the games you heard here on KGYM. It was Kennedy knocking off Washington out of Kingston Stadium 21-11 as the Cougars ran for nearly 300 yards last night. Also at the Dome, it was Cedar Falls over Jefferson 38-7. Prairie shut out Dubuque Hempstead up in Dubuque last night 35-0. It was Xavier over Dubuque Waller at 45-6. Iowa City West with a 41-7 victory over the Linmar Lions last night. Marion goes to 3-3 as they top Mokokadon homecoming 42-7. Also last night, the other game you heard here in KGYM came down to a last-second field goal as Iowa City Regina topped South Hardin 22-19. Also last night, best start in school history for Davenport North. It took overtime, but the Wildcats beat City High last night 24-21. Elsewhere, Waverly Shell Rock with the win over West Delaware last night 30-24. Third loss, I believe, on the year for West Delaware. Western Dubuque. They stayed 5-1 with the win over Center Point Urbana 35-7. Clear Creek Amana remains unbeaten over Clinton 28-0 on the road. North Scott beat Liberty last night 44-15. Solon over Washington, Iowa 37-14. West Monticello, touchdown better than North Fayette Valley 28-21. Waterloo Columbus over Anamosa 22-16. Mount Vernon all over Tipton last night 68-8. West Liberty shut out West Burlington Notre Dame 39-0. Williamsburg's been hot lately. They beat Mid Prairie 62-28. Metton Community goes to 5-1 as they top Nevada 56-16. It was Union over Roland Story 44-8. West Marshall top Vinton Shelsburg 50-6. Elsewhere last night in high school football, it was Bellevue getting the victory last night as Bellevue topped Beckman 42-7. Cascade over Northeast 57-20. West Branch over North Cedar 52-14. Wilton with a big win over Wapello 35-6. North Lynn shut out Jessup 23-0. It was Clayton Ridge over Alburnett 24-15. Edco goes to 5-1. They beat Lisbon 41-8. MFL Marmac tops Maquoketa Valley 26-21. BGM, an 8-point win over Belle Plaine, 28-20. It was Highland topping Pekin, 23-21. Also last night, East Buchanan, a big shutout victory over GMG, 63-0. 8-player football, Central City remains unbeaten, 78-44 over Easton Valley. Springville, a shutout over Elkader Central, 57-0. Midland tops West Central, 60-21. And Iowa Valley over English Valleys, 80-20 last night. So those were the scores on week 6 for high school football. College volleyball last night, Illinois, 7th rated in the country, shut out Iowa 3-0. Texas Tech beat Iowa State last night 3-1. UNI over Loyola 3-0. And Valpo beat Drake 3-0 last night. Coming up today, high school volleyball action, the Prairie Invitational just getting underway. Washington and Prairie among the teams over there. Jefferson travels to Waverly Shell Rock today for the Gohawk Invitational. Marion is up at the Waterloo Columbus Tournament. And Xavier continues play today in the national tournament up at Mother Macaulay High School in Chicago, in the Chicago suburbs today. They had to take on the number one team in the country yesterday. Did not see how that came out, but best of luck to the Saints coming up today. Swimming action. It's the Cedar Falls Invitational. Washington, Jefferson, and Kennedy swimming and diving up there. College football today. Iowa off. Iowa State down at Fort Worth to take on TCU, and that will be a 4 o'clock pregame today, 6 o'clock with the kickoff. We have it on 1600 AM for you. It will be entertaining Nebraska Wesleyan today at Clark Field. That will get underway at 1 o'clock. And the University of Chicago, Jay Berwanger's alma mater, will be in Mount Vernon to take on Cornell. And that gets started at 1 o'clock over at Ash Park. We'll take a break, come back, and dive into the Coach's Corner for a Saturday right after this here on KGYM.
It's harvest season. The trade war with China is escalating.
Iowa's new Secretary of Agriculture is warning that President Trump's new tariffs will hurt the Iowa farm economy.
And Iowa farmers could lose up to $2.2 billion. We need someone fighting for us in Washington. Someone who understands what trade means to farmers. Someone like Abby Finkenauer.
I'm Abby Finkenauer. My sister and brother-in-law are corn and soybean farmers. They just want an opportunity to sell their crops and make a living. Tariffs should be fair, but they shouldn't make things harder. Farms are paying the price, and Rod Blum is letting it happen.
Abby Finkenauer will fight to make sure trade is fair and markets are open for Iowa farmers.
I'll work with anyone if it helps Iowa, but I'll have the backbone to stand up to anyone who hurts us. I'm Abby Finkenauer, candidate for Congress, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Finkenauer for Congress.
Daryl Buehle here with Toyota of Iowa City. This is that time of year. Our 2018 models need to move out and make room for the 2019s that are arriving. Incentives are awesome right now, so it's a great time for you to take advantage of the model year ending. 2018 model year end customer cash is $1,000 on all Camrys, $1,500 on all gas Highlanders, $1,500 on all Tacomas excluding TRD Pro, $2,500 on gas RAV4s, $2,250 on all hybrid RAV4s, and $3,500 on all Siennas. Dealer demonstrators are also available. Current incentives are good only through Monday, October 1st, so don't hesitate. Take the time to come see us, and we'll make you a great deal on the new Toyota of your choice. We're Toyota of Iowa City. We make it easy. It's what we do.
Special rate finance offers cannot be combined with customer cash. Does not include a $180 dealer documentation fee.
Doing HVAC work has given you some good opportunities. Now how about an even better one? Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 is looking to represent residential commercial HVAC workers. Being with 263 means you're part of the union, and union jobs offer better pay, better benefits, and better job security. Those are things that mean a better life using the skills you already have. Work with Sheet Metal Workers Local 263. Give Rick a call at 319-721-9414. 319-721-9414.
Jim Scatunash. Get ready for Xavier football action. Friday afternoon at 3 during the KGYM tailgate tour with the Iowa National Guard.
Commonly, a D-lineman's responsibility on any given play depends on whether he's playing a zero technique, one gap, or two gap technique. They would then attack the A gap or B gap in pursuit of the play. Got it? Me neither. But I love this game on the Cyclone Sports Network.
This afternoon, the Cyclones travel to TCU. Coverage starts at 4 o'clock on 1600 AM, KGYM.
9:09, back with you here in the Coach's Corner program on KGYM. And we got a busy day coming up today. Football later on. We'll start at 2:30 on all three frequencies with Michigan at Northwestern. From ESPN, and then at 4 o'clock, 1600, we'll shift away and go to the Iowa State pregame as Iowa State takes on Texas Tech. And then NFL coming up tomorrow, a pair of doubleheaders. ESPN's game on 1600 begins at 11 o'clock, and our Sports USA Westwood One game start at 11:30 tomorrow. Sunday night football coming your way tomorrow night with Baltimore and Pittsburgh, and then Monday night football, the Chiefs and the Denver Broncos. Coming up on Monday night. So a lot of football to come your way right here on KGYM. Going to talk some fall golf with you, and it feels like fall golf today. And Tim O'Brien, the head coach for the Xavier Saints, up first here today. And it feels like fall today, doesn't it?
It does. But my boys actually are going to get a little taste of fall golf this morning. My assistant, new assistant this year, Patrick Flanagan, former Columbus head coach and successful there at Columbus, is driving the boys up to the Meadows, and actually they're playing right now, so getting ready for Tuesday's meet. We played in mid-August up there to And so they're up there today, and the word is the greens are moving pretty well there, so I better keep the ball below the hole.
You've already gotten the scouting report from
yes,
some of them.
Exactly.
Stocking caps are out today, and
right.
All that good stuff. But
stay away from getting the colds and bronchitis this time of year. Stay healthy.
Yeah, that's the big thing, because obviously districts are around the corner. We'll get to that coming up, but you got to be happy. Another solid year for the Saints this fall.
Yeah, very happy. Some boys really did a nice job in the off season and a step up to fill the place of some seniors that that finished up the program here at Xavier. And so Max Henderson is one of those. He started out the season at Super Meet with a lettuce with a 75 at Pheasant Ridge. And then not too far into the season, we played in Jester Park and West Johnson. Shot an even par 72 there, and playing with all a number of good teams in the state that day. I think the low score was 71, and next best score was his and some other players at 72. And then Dan Bailey at our Airport National Divisional shot a 1 over 64 and actually almost aced his last hole. That day, so the ball was literally hanging over the cup on hole 16 at Airport. So,
guess it wouldn't go in for him.
No, I told him you came close to joining my club, but he did birdie the last, so that was nice. And then Nick Raker has had a great week this week. 73. He was the medalist at our final divisional at Denny's Course Gardner. Washes course, and so that was a good day, and he beat some pretty nice fine golfers that day too. So there's some really nice golfers in the area. Connor Neighbors from Wash, this year's Mississippi Division MVC Player of the Year. He's had a great year, and he's a great kid. And the same as Ian Johnson from Prairie, and then the Burma boy from Cedar Falls, and you know, other kids in the area like Brock Barnhart and from Kennedy and Dylan Burr at Linmar. And I'll tell you what, tip of the hat to Coach McGrew at Jeff. So the other day at Twin Pines, his number six boy got up and just piped one on the first hole. So I think it's been a good year with the MVC, and we hope to represent well, whether we're playing at the Meadows or Chris and Denny's teams and other MVC teams. Eric Columbus and all those teams playing at Hunter's Ridge on Monday.
Yeah, and well, you mentioned the divisional last week and the last round anyway, and like I said, it went really well. You had a good individual performance, and then team did well.
Yeah, we did okay. We had hoped to play a little bit better, but our seniors came through, and one of our sophomores with scores, I think our highest score we had to count was an 82. But Nick really led the way, and he's got things rolling, and that's a good thing. And we had a good night the other night at Twin Pines to finish off the season, our former home course, and that was a fun day actually. I kind of told the boys, I'm like, well, boys, here's the deal. So one of my first years, or early on in my 12 years at Xavier, we had a meet, and we shot 3 under, and we finished 3rd at Twin. And it was a triangular, and 7 under won, and 5 under was 2nd. I think Hempstead won that day. And I said, here's the deal. You're going to have to shoot that to beat the record here. You have to shoot at least 7 under or better to tie or beat that record. And they got off to a hot start. So Nick Raker started the day with at Twin with a birdie and an eagle, a birdie, bogeyed 4 and eagled 5. So, and then Max Henderson and Dan Bailey, after 3 holes, were both 1 under. And I think Max had it to 3. We kind of had some bogeys along the way, but ended up winning the meet, shot 147. And it was a really good way for us to finish the season. And Matthew Schmidt, so ended up with a 38, I think Dan 38, Max 37, and Nick a medalist for the second time this week with a 34. So really pleased about the direction that we're heading, and going into districts on Tuesday.
Yeah, and playing hot. And these, the guys all over, your guys and Denny's guys, and it just seems like the caliber of golf is just getting better and better each and every year. I mean, it's just amazing.
Yeah, it's incredible. And I know on my own squad here, you know, we're seven deep, and I'm comfortable with any of those seven players playing. Hunter Hartgrave is pretty much in our seventh spot right now. And, you know, I'm confident enough to say that there'd be a number of teams that'd be more than willing to take that boy. And so you only can count four of six players. So he's played the seventh spot for most all of our meets this season and played in one of the divisionals. So his scoring average is a little bit higher on the quick stats than it is in reality. So between Nick Raker, he's 39.31, and I would say probably if I calculated Hunter's and all the rest of the players, we're probably not above 42. So I'm really happy about that. We're pretty solid, and I think that'll bode well for us. And that's the plan. And with Nick playing well, and our seniors Dan and Max, and you know, I'm just really pleased where we are right now and what they've accomplished. But it happened in the off season as well.
Right, and you make that point in the off season and. Seeing those guys out, seeing them at St. Andrews, seeing them at some of the city courses. I mean, they're all over the place. You see your bags, you see your wash bags, you see Kennedy bags out there, and the guys are putting in the time now.
Absolutely, and Michael Glavin is. I told him on the course at Gardner the other day how much he's improved, growing up as a golfer and making good choices, like all throughout the season, if he's gotten in trouble, and that boy hits the ball a long ways, and he's gotten in trouble, he's just gotten out of trouble. And as a golf coach going for a team score, you absolutely love that. And so I've been really pleased with his progress and what he's been doing for us as well. So,
And of course, you guys. You are at St. Andrews, and that's your home course, has been for the past few years anyway, and it's definitely a unique venue. Driver's not always probably the impromptu choice off the tee, but you got to hit it straight.
Right. Ironically, I had a conversation at the Xavier St. football game with someone last night, and I think Nick Ireland, our marketing director at Xavier, and we were talking about that, and I said when we played at Twin, it's a great confidence builder, but it's pretty wide open. So when you go to courses that are tight, everything kind of closed in. And so since we've been at St. Andrews, pretty much most courses open up for us. And you really, even myself playing in some tournaments in the summer, I've noticed that where I used to see, you know, OB right or left, I don't even see it now, just being used to, since I'm a member at St. Andrews. And they've just treated us like kings. I mean, I can't say it any other way. So we've been just so pleased there.
And good greens, too. Fast greens, usually, so you get some good putting practice.
Yes, absolutely. And that'll be good preparation for the Meadows. As I mentioned earlier, the greens are rolling pretty well up there, is the word on the street.
How many you got this year total on the squad?
So we have 25. We have seven freshmen, and Coach Flanagan took it upon himself to take those boys under his wing. He's done a great job. They ended up with a winning record. We have 11 JV players, and 10 of those played in our Ryder Cup this week, and they pretty much careered a couple senior boys that broke the Xavier record for the Ryder Cup score with a 567 at Twin, Paul Kies and Braden Albert. And so those are really two nice young men that we'll miss for next year. And then a number of sophomores and some juniors on that team. And they shot 12 under par. So it's an 11th straight win of the Ryder Cup. And those boys look forward to that. And it's a challenge for them. And so really proud of what the JV team's accomplished. And quite honestly, for a good chunk of the season, they had only lost twice, and that was at the Johnson Invite against Dowling at Johnston and a lot of good teams. And so they've had a great season, and Coach George Davis leads them, and he does a wonderful job job with those boys. And so then our varsity squad, then we've pretty much had that seven solid. So we have 25 total.
That's a good number.
Yes.
Good number to keep track of and get everybody some playing time. And I know Denny does a great job of organizing JV meets and reserve meets. And so everybody usually gets a chance to play.
Well, yes. And that's the thing this year. We lost a JV meet, but no JV player on our team played all the meets this year. So my coach tried to divvy it out, so different kids were playing throughout that JV season. So, and it's worked out pretty well. And we kind of lost a week or so with the rain and, you know, different things. So, yeah, absolutely. And we do, if you're going to go out for Xavier golf, then need to come into the golf season ready, because, you know, we do cut if need be. And I'd say most of the players that showed up to tee it up this year made the cut. So, but they know they have to come out ready to play. So,
yep, and ready to get going. And like you mentioned, it's a quick season, and now you get ready for Tuesday, and sounds like the weather is going to be nice. So that's a plus.
Yeah. So yeah, I think we picked the right day to play. So,
well, what about the teams that are going to be up at the Meadows? It's a good group. Some MAC teams. You're going to be seeing a lot of the teams from over in the river.
Right, which we did last year too at our district at Elmcrest. But Cedar Falls is the number one team, and Deer Run, actually, that good way into the season was their first loss, and we nipped them by one, so I was pretty happy about that. But they're tough. They're really good, number one team in the state. And then scoring average wise, you have our Xavier squad, and then Dubuque Wallerts has really come on, and they've gotten better throughout the season, so they'll be tough. And then you have Bettendorf as the number one player in the quick stats, and so you always have to be wary of that if that boy, you know, shoots a great low round and has some scores to go with it. And then Dubuque Hempstead and Western Dubuque, I believe, you know, I honestly believe probably out of those six teams, you know, the three that advance will come out of those six squads. But, you know, never count out like a Dubuque team that's, you know, grown up on the Meadows either, senior.
Yeah, and that's their home course, I think.
It is. There, they're the ones actually hosting it, Scott.
Yeah, so they, you always got to be a little weary of that. And top three advance, correct?
That is correct. And then the top two individuals from non-qualifying teams will also advance.
And I think, if I read correctly, that everybody, if you do advance, moves on to Brown Deer, correct?
That is correct.
How about that, huh?
Yes.
The eastern side of the state this year.
Yes, we're liking that. So we got a round in earlier in the season. Our boys played there late in the summer, and I know some have gone on their own since then, and some have played in tournaments there, you know, over the summer. Yeah, I teed it up there for the first time, and it was a good day for me. So
you can show them where to go then.
Hopefully. Actually, I was playing with a dad, one of our boys' dad, and I hit the first seven greens in regulation. And after I walked off the seventh green, I said, "Whatever you do, please don't wake me up."
Well, you know what, Brown Deer, if you guys are fortunate enough to get there, there's a lot of similarities with St. Andrews, with Brown Deer.
Yes, there's some position golf, and I really think that it'll be interesting because it isn't about the big stick there, but a lot about the short game and playing smart and keeping the ball in play. I think that's something that really probably brings more teams into it. And the 100-yard end game has been something we've been emphasizing, and I think that's just going to be huge, you know, at Brown Deer, getting it up and down. And so really looking forward to that, and I know Sean McCarty and Brian, his assistant, will do a great job of hosting it. And But our boys are at the Meadows today because you don't get to play at Brown Deer unless you get through your district. So,
yeah, and that's the big thing right there. And I know you're going to miss your seniors this year, but you've had a lot of guys move on to play college golf. I know that you're proud of, and I read about Ryan Keating yesterday up at Loras, and Dad was very proud. I know, Tom was.
Yeah, you see, I'm really proud of that too. And Ryan at Loras is having a good year, and Sam Martin's at Loras. He's a former Saint. So basically, I have six boys that played for us that are playing college golf. We have Tyler Breitbach at Mount Mercy, and Brad Karpix at Maryville and St. Louis. I ran into his grandpa out at Gardner, Mr. Ben Kusky, and he was giving me a little insight on Brad, and he's been getting to play as a freshman up there, and so that's good. And Luke Winker is playing at Coe, and then Jordan Evans playing at the University of Memphis after he had finished his stint at Kirkwood. So I'm really proud of the fact that those boys, after getting done with our program, they obviously still love golf and have an opportunity to make some more memories at the college level. So that's something that I'm really pleased about.
Yeah, that's great to see. That is really great to see. And the fall golf, the only bad part about it is it goes very quickly, doesn't it?
It does, Scott. So we start mid-August. By mid-October, we're done. And it's kind of an interesting balance because these boys are student athletes, and so we always are making sure that they're keeping on track with their studies. But that's a really something that we've tried to work on in my golf program is I'll give them an academic day here and there to, you know, just make sure that they aren't stressed out when they get to the golf course, because you know you play your best golf when you're relaxed. So
yeah,
and that needs to be the priority. You know, I love our school and our administration. They've done a great job for us, and Andy Umpthin, but that priority of being a student athlete is really important,
right?
And to the boys too.
Well, especially when in golf, you have the 18-hole meets, and basically you miss a day of school for the most part. So you got to make sure academically everybody is in line.
Right, and typically what I've been doing the past few years is I'll have an academic day that next day, so they're able to get to with their teachers and catch up. And these boys are golf junkies, as is their coach. And I mean that in an endearing way, that kind of like you, I see you on the links quite often. So I don't worry about them working hard to get better after they're done with their studies, even on an academic day. So really pleased with that. And we had some nice honors at the MVC Divisional as well. So Nick Raker, with his fine medalist round on this week on Monday, ended up first team all conference. And our other two seniors that have been our starters, Max Henderson and Dan Bailey, ended up second team. And Michael Glavin and Matthew Schmidt, our junior and sophomore, ended up with honorable mentions. So really pleased about that. And speaking of academics, Dan and Nick are our two captains for the team this year, and they also are MVC all academic.
Yeah, that's a big part of it too.
Yes,
big
absolutely.
Part of it.
So they lead that way as well.
Yeah. Well, Tuesday is the big day, so we wish the Saints the best of luck up there at the Meadows.
Yes, and we hope to be making a trip to Coralville, but like anything else, you know, it's one day, it's 18 holes, so you need to show up and play well. And if you do that, I basically told the boys, I said, I can tell you one thing, if you can go to the Meadows and it's, you know, basically bogeys, pars, and birdies, and I guess with Nick Raker, since the last 27 holes, he's had three eagles. I guess I have to throw in eagles now because of him. So if they can do that, then I like their chances of advancing. So the thing that keeps you out of postseason play, if you're pretty solid 1 through 6, is throwing those big numbers on your scorecard. So
avoid those.
Yes, absolutely. At all costs.
Avoid those, and I think everything will be okay. And hopefully you have a very busy week next week. I say that in a good way.
Well, thank you, Scott. I really appreciate it, and appreciate you having me today.
Yep, and maybe we'll see you next Friday night between rounds of the state tournament over at the Xavier football game.
I will be there. Actually, I told one of the band students, I said, if I can get back in time, haven't got to watch the marching band, and I always do that at least once a year. So last night I didn't have the opportunity to do that, so my goal is to get back for halftime of homecoming and support those kids in the homecoming court and the festivities going on there if all works out well. So hopefully I don't have the whole day off from golf.
There you go. There you go.
All right.
Well, thanks for stopping by, and appreciate all the great work you do with the Xavier golf team.
Thank you so much, Scott.
All right. We'll take a break, come back, and talk some Warrior Golf when we return after this here on KGYM.
eFinancial makes buying life insurance easier thanks to a mix of
technology
and personal service. When you call, our agents listen to learn your needs.
Then utilize our cutting-edge platform to search options from leading companies.
You get the right coverage at the right price thanks to our blend of
advanced computer algorithms and
plain old conversation. Get covered today. Call 1-866-244-5580.
Or visit efinancial.com.
That's efinancial.com.
Football fans, Adam Schefter here. You know me for breaking news around the league, and I just received a tip. Vivid Seats is offering ESPN fans 10% off football tickets, but you have to act fast. Head to vividseats.com and enter promo code ESPN at checkout to receive 10% off your first order. Vivid Seats is the official ticket partner of ESPN, and with their 100% buyer guarantee, there's no reason to miss a game this year. Don't wait. This offer ends soon.
Guarantee and promotional terms available on vividseats.com.
Do you have frequent heartburn? Like the kind where you have antacids stashed everywhere in case it pops up? You know what I mean. You keep some in your bag, or your desk, or your car, or your nightstand. You have those chalky tablets ready for whenever and wherever heartburn strikes. Well, listen up. There's an easier way to deal with your heartburn. Prilosec OTC. Just one pill a day will last a full 24 hours with zero heartburn. Kick your antacid habit. It's possible with Prilosec OTC.
Use as directed for 14 days to treat frequent heartburn, not for immediate relief.
It's an NFL doubleheader on Sports USA. First, we head to Green Bay as the Buffalo Bills with rookie QB Josh Allen take on the veteran number 12 Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. Then, we head to SoCal when the San Francisco 49ers with Breida and Morris will try to top Rivers, Gordon, and Allen of the Los Angeles Chargers. Bills at the Pack, then Niners at the Chargers, this Sunday on Sports USA.
Starting this Sunday at 11:30 on 107.5 and 106.3 FM, KGYM.
9:34, back with you on the Coach's Corner program as we continue to talk some golf here with you on a Saturday morning. Coming up later on, Michigan and Northwestern at 2:30 on all three frequencies, and then 1600 breaks away at 4 o'clock for Iowa State and TCU from down in Fort Worth. And that will be just past 6 o'clock with the kickoff for that one coming up tonight for you. And we'll have that on 1600 a.m. And going to continue talking golf. Denny Gettle joining us here, the boys' golf coach and the girls' golf coach at Washington. And the boys going at it right now. And you were just commenting, a lot of people are walking their dogs now at 1 and 2 in the morning over the past couple of days, right?
Exactly. I'd be glad to walk the dog, and maybe I'll watch a little golf while the dog is walking.
Yeah, because Ryder Cup's going on right now. It's 8-4. The European team is ahead. And in the afternoon matches, there, still morning here in the States, but 7 hours ahead in France, and right now it's 2-2. So it looks like it's could be 10-6 going into singles tomorrow, and it's been done before, but that's going to be a tall task for the Americans.
Yeah, that means they'll have to win, 8 out of 12 or
yes.
Just a tie. But one of the matches, Europe's only up by one, so maybe the U.S. can come back and get that one and make it just a two-point advantage.
That would be big.
The singles. That would, you know, every match is so important in that format.
The Americans have the cup right now, so a tie would retain the cup.
Right.
No one wants a tie, but no. It seems to be the year of the tie, so we'll see how it all plays out. Well, another, like we said with Tim, another successful year for the Warriors on the Lynx, and kind of headed up by Connor Nabors, who won his third consecutive Player of the Year honor for him. And I don't know if anyone's ever done that before, but it's a great feather in Connor's cap, I know.
Yeah, I don't know either, but it would be pretty rare. We give an Athlete of the Year award in all conference sports, and I suppose in swimming track there have probably been some people that have won multiple times, but pretty rare and a tremendous accomplishment for Connor. And I think, if my math is correct, Connor's the winningest golfer that Washington's ever had. He's been on the varsity all 4 years, and I think we have more wins during his 4 years than for any other Washington golfer. And he has a chance to go to state all four times, and no Washington golfer's ever done that. So pretty elite territory for Connor, and couldn't happen to a nicer kid. He's a tremendous young man.
And he's going to be going on to play golf, of course, next year.
He is. He's going to. He was recruited by several schools and made the choice to go to Southern Illinois University in Edwardsville, not far from St. Louis, and went down there and visited. Really liked the program and the facilities and the coach, and that's where he's headed to play. So I guarantee the Southern Illinois coach is going to be very happy to have Connor Nabors in his stable.
Yeah, very much so, very much so. And well, how was your take on the final round of the divisional? You had to host, so you had
hosted.
You had a lot of oars in the water that day.
We did, and it was a good competition. Cedar Falls had a huge lead going in. The divisional is based on three rounds: the super meet and at the start of the season, and then a meet that was held at Airport 2 weeks ago, almost three now. And then this third meet at Gardner, and they add up the scores from all three meets. So Cedar Falls had a huge lead going in, and were able to maintain that. And their coach was voted Coach of the Year, as he should have been, because, as Tim mentioned earlier, I think they've only had one meet all year when anyone has beaten them. So that's an amazing record. They're very deep. But we were able to slip past Xavier. They were a stroke ahead of us going in to that meet, and we ended up, I think, being four strokes ahead of them at the end. And then Prairie finished fourth overall. Western Dubuque had a very good round in the final round. Actually, we finished fourth on Monday, but fifth overall. Western Dubuque's got a couple brothers playing at the top of their lineup that are getting better and better, and they'll make a run at qualifying for state, I think, those individuals at least. So we had a good, solid divisional, and we were very happy with our performance that day. And the big accomplishment individually for our team that day was Connor's brother Kyle, a sophomore, shot 75, actually tied for fourth place in the field, and that really gave us a boost that day. And he's been coming on very strong. He was under par in a meet at Airport, and he's been very solid for us down the stretch.
And good for the future.
Absolutely. And that's been the fun thing about this team, because, you know, a lot of coaches look to a year when maybe they'll have a lot of seniors and take that opportunity to retire. And I suppose there's a lot of people hoping I'll make that decision shortly. But we had two seniors, a junior, two sophomores, and a freshman. And it's fun to have a lineup like that, because you kind of keep the program going in the future, hopefully.
Yeah, and things look good, and interesting year, and you're kind of going through. I think you made it through without losing a meet. Is that correct, or did you lose one?
The Warriors?
Yes.
You mean as far as rain out?
Yes.
Yeah, excuse me. Yeah, we've been beaten.
No, but I mean,
we did not have to reschedule a varsity meet. That's pretty amazing with the weather we've had. We had a three-hour delay one place, and I think we've had more than one delay at times, but we haven't had to reschedule anything, which is really good, especially when you have the big meets and you have 12, 13, 14 teams that travel a long distance, and it gets pretty tough for the host to make those decisions sometimes. But we have had to move some JV and freshman meets around, reschedule those. In fact, Thursday we had a varsity meet and two JV meets on the same day. So I had 21 kids playing at three different places, and that was a great opportunity for those kids. So we took advantage of that for sure.
Well, and that's one of the things I know the rest of the conference coaches, especially here in the Metro and Iowa City, you take the upon yourself to take the task of getting a lot of reserve meets and a lot of JV meets so that the kids can get out there and play, because obviously that's the name of the game. Everybody wants to get out there and swing. So I know you get everybody a chance to do that, so that's good.
Yeah, we have a roster of 40, and as I mentioned, 21 kids played on Thursday, and we had 20 kids play on Wednesday because we had a Ryder Cup at Twin Pines. It's an annual kind of season-ending event that they just love. We play six holes of best ball, six of alternate shot, six of best shot. It happened to fall this year in the same week as the real Ryder Cup, so it was fun. And then we had a reserved two-person best shot that on the same day at Gardner, so every one of our kids got to play in a meet either Wednesday or Thursday, and I'm really happy with that. I think every one of our 40 kids played in at least three meets this year. So with Coach Penny, who's been assistant coach in the program now for quite a few years, and Coach Bill Heffley, the former Lindmark coach, helped us this year as well and did a fabulous job with kids and teaching. He's great with kids. So I'm really happy with our coaching staff, and the kids took to all – well, at least two of those three. I don't know about me, but we had a really good year that way with our coaching staff and the kids, and proud of all that.
Yeah, been good to have them get out there and get the opportunity to play. And well, I mentioned Connor with his terrific year, and should talk about the rest of the varsity lineup.
Yeah, Connor's adjusted average for nine holes, 36.79, and as you mentioned, so many good golfers around the state that stand sixth.
That's amazing.
But it's just a hair breadth between first and sixth there. It's pretty close competition. It seems like almost every team in our area has one really terrific golfer at least, and he is ours for sure. But playing number two all year for us was freshman Niall Peterson, and he's had a very good year, especially for a freshman. You expect them to be a little inconsistent sometimes, and he's just been very steady all the way through and has a great swing. And, you know, when he finishes growing and gets a little bigger and gets a little more distance, he's going to be a huge factor statewide. And there aren't many teams playing a freshman at one or two on their teams, and pretty excited to have him back next year, but I'm excited for what he's going to be able to do, hopefully, on Monday. Then Whit Hafner, a junior, has had a solid year, and he's played number three most of the time. He averages right around 40 for nine holes. Then we have Kyle Neighbors, as I just mentioned, who's played number four, and he and Whit are very close average-wise now, so it's good to have four guys that you can pretty much depend on every time in or out. And then number five has been one of our co-captains, Ben Skogman. He's our other senior in our lineup. And as you know, he had a great year with the Warrior baseball team that finished second in the state. But when you play baseball, that makes it hard to squeeze in a lot of golf activities in the summer. And he's been coming on, and we're expecting big things out of him on Monday. He's got some great shots in his arsenal, and he can just keep himself out of trouble a little bit. He could be a big factor for us. And then our number six golfer, going into the season, we were pretty unsure who would end up being number six, but Joseph Tauber, a sophomore, has really come forward, and he's played very well. He had our third best score on Thursday over at Twin Pines, And more and more lately, he's been consistent and played well at the divisional. So really happy with one through six. And I got to pay tribute because probably our 7 through 10 golfers are all seniors. And that's tough to just be just outside the varsity lineup. But they've had a great attitude, worked hard all season. Bennett Blumenthal, who's played six for us a couple times. Matic Hilton, who's battled a hip injury from baseball, but it's a shame that he wasn't able to be healthy all year. But he's a solid player. Alex Wickham, and then John Anderson. I got to mention those four guys because they've had a great attitude, and it's really important that those guys that are just outside your lineup continue to have that great attitude and push the kids that are ahead of them to remain solid, to stay, keep their spot. So very happy about all that.
Yeah, and a good group right there, and you got a good healthy number, certainly.
We do, and 40 actually is the smallest team I've had since I've been the head coach. So we had 64 one year, but it's still 40. It seems like a lot of kids out there some days, and we try to keep them all busy. We demand a lot of individual responsibility, and they've been really good about making sure that they keep on track and working all the time at practice. And it's been a great group of kids. Coach Penny has remarked several times about how much fun this group has been. And I should mention two freshmen who we think really have a great potential as well. Nathan McDermott and Zach Brown played a little bit of JV and led our freshman team all year. And if they put the time in, they've got a chance to move right up there in the future too.
Mm-hmm. You put together always a good schedule for Wash, and one of the highlights is your Warrior Invitational, and you go around, you try to get, you try to make it special for the kids, I know, and this year you went over the Deer Run and played over there, and I know there's probably a lot of behind-the-scenes finagling to get that taken care of between you and Grant Schultz, but it's neat for the kids to get to play at a PGA venue, though.
It is, and it's a tournament that Waller used to host. It was called the Drex Invitational after a player who had played for Waller who died during his college years. And I don't even remember exactly how it came about. We took over the tournament maybe 5 years ago, and we played twice now at Deer Run. We've played once at Spirit Hollow. We played at Glens Creek, a very good course over north of Davenport. We played at Amana last year. It's been fun to secure those courses, and the courses have been great to us to allow us to move it around. We have kind of a waiting list of schools who want to get in. This year we had the top nine teams in the state were all at our tournament and at Deer Run, so it was like a mini state tournament. It worked out great, and lots of compliments for the opportunity for kids to play on a course like that. I'm working currently on where we might be able to go next year, and hopefully I can secure another very good course that kids don't often get a chance to play during the high school season.
Well, it's just it's neat. It's neat to have them be on the golf course, and it's got to pick up their spirits, and it's just, it's good. It's a win-win for everybody.
It is. And everybody gets excited about that. They know it's not one of the championship meets of the season, but there's still a great competition to win that thing. And this year, I think it was Waukee that won it, and Pleasant Valley finished second. And I can't remember. I think Dowling was third, if I recall. So we had great teams, and I told them, at the ceremony, we'll see many of you hopefully again at state meet on October 6th and 7th. So
yeah, now
5th and 6th, I guess it is.
Yeah, hopefully next weekend.
Yes,
next weekend down at Brown Deer coming up, and just the landscape this year of golf around the state of Iowa. I think Cedar Falls is on top, but it's a precarious lead, at least stat wise anyway, and a lot of good teams are around. I know Eastern Iowa, and then, of course, in the Des Moines area.
Well, Central Iowa's had a stranglehold on the state championship in boys golf for quite some time. And, you know, Cedar Falls should make a really good run at it. But Johnston's outstanding. Waukee, Valley, Dowling, they're all solid teams. Of course, Marshalltown won it on Elmwood Country Club course last year. And they've got, I think, three or four of their kids back from that team. Their number two player wasn't eligible for the first part of this season, and they've been very good since he's been back. And that's our district on Monday. We have Marshalltown and Pleasant Valley there, who are both ranked very highly. I think Pleasant Valley is sixth and Marshalltown's seventh, and we're ranked 10th currently. And then we have three Metro teams that are going to make a run at it as well, because Linmar, Kennedy, and Prairie all have terrific individual at the top of their lineup and a pretty good supporting cast. So it'll be a very competitive field Monday at Hunter's Ridge as three teams try to qualify for state.
Yep, you get to go a day early.
We do, and I assume that's because of some conflict at Hunter's on Tuesday, but whatever the reason, and the weather forecast is a little iffy for Monday, so we hope we get it in on Monday, but I told our kids yesterday we just need to be mentally tough this time of year because you never know what the weather situation is going to be, whether you're going to have to wait around sometimes, just what's going to happen. So just get yourself ready to be mentally tough and do your best. And one of the interesting things about that district is six of the top 12 individuals in the state are going to be there, and they're from six different teams.
There's going to be some good players that are not going to make it.
Exactly. If you do the math, you know, three teams are going to make it, and then two other individuals. So one of those top 12's not going to make it.
Yeah. Well, and
it's a shame.
You got loaded into a pretty loaded district.
Exactly. So, and yet that brings out the best. And, you know, both state organizations anymore try very hard to seed things and get the best teams to the state tournament level. And there's a lot to be said for that approach. But then what happens sometimes is a team like Cedar Falls gets moved clear over to Dubuque for a district, and Marshalltown, Pleasant Valley come a long distance up here to be in this district. And, you know, it's, you know, teams get moved around. Xavier's the only Metro team that's going to Dubuque. The other five are all at Hunter's. So if you look out on the west side, there's a district in Sioux City, and there's some teams traveling a long way to play in that. Urbandale and so forth are going clear to Sioux City to play. So when you do try to separate the very best teams, sometimes that gets difficult. And there again, two of the top 12 teams, Des Moines Roosevelt and Mason City, have an uphill battle to get in because they're in a district with three teams ranked ahead of them. So, and Roosevelt's on their home course, Waveland, so you never know. Roosevelt's got two or three really good individuals, and they got to find that fourth score to make it. So,
yeah, and well, at Hunter's, you know, Coach Heffley knows Hunter's very, very well, obviously, and I'm sure your players have played it many, many, many times, but it's just a place where, like Tim said, you got to avoid the big score out there. Even bogey's not a bad score at times out of Hunter's Ridge.
No. And, you know, that back nine, you go through a stretch there where it can really get in your head. And, you know, from 12 through 17 is a stretch of pretty difficult holes. And they're tight and places where you get in trouble. And I guarantee if you get through there with the same ball you started with on hole number 12, you've accomplished something. And so you just can't let yourself fall apart if something bad happens to you in that stretch. And the other thing, when you do get into tight golf courses like Hunter's, like St. Andrews, as Tim mentioned earlier, you got to guard against trying to aim everything and guide everything. You just got to pick the club that you trust, and you got to put a good swing on it and believe in yourself and let it go. It just, when you get in trouble is when you start trying to guide things and being too careful.
Mm-hmm. And I know as grateful as Tim was to St. Andrews, you're equally as grateful to Gardner and the rest of the Cedar Rapids City courses, I know. And then Mother Nature threw a curveball at everybody with the flood and with Jones's situation. So had that to deal with.
Yeah, and that's been Jefferson's home course, although they don't have a driving range at Jones, so they don't always get to practice over there. Sometimes they have to go somewhere else for driving range work. But you are absolutely correct. Steve Charters is a pro at both Gardner and Twin, and he's been tremendous to work with. Dave Rowe, who has kind of overseen all the public courses this year, has been great to work with. Jeff Schmidt, the greenskeeper at Gardner, I just rave about his work. I think he has Gardner for a public course in the best condition of any public course around here that you can find. They just, and this time of year, they've aerified all the public courses. Hunter's has been aerified. So that's another issue this time of year playing golf to get on greens that are bumpy sometimes and have a lot of sand on them. And it's the same for everybody, but you just got to get used to those conditions.
Still better than spring golf.
It is. And, you know, I don't know whether you're aware of this, but some big important AD meetings this week to consider moving all boys golf for all levels to the fall, which would create changes because that would mean Marion and Wash would be sharing Gardner, and with our big squads, that's going to be pretty tough. But, you know, fall, it's great that we have the opportunity to play fall golf for boys. And if that comes about, so be it. They're talking about moving all the girls' tennis to the fall to try and make it not so difficult to get tennis practice in, particularly at the big schools when you have boys and girls' tennis going on at the same time. So they're always taking a look at the seasons and how to adjust them. I think they're trying to figure out a way to get two down weeks in the summertime between baseball and the start of fall sports.
I think would be
that
great.
Would be a good move. So I'm glad that the powers are taking a look at all those things.
Yeah, yeah. We'll see how it all plays out. But when they usually look at things, it usually happens. So that's just kind of what the past history has told us anyway. But keep up the great work, and got a feeling we'll see you a few times over the winter. So,
well, you and I have sat together doing basketball games a number of times, and I even got to do a football game.
You
got
to do a football game about a week ago, so it was great.
But, you do such an awesome job. It's just a privilege to work with you, and thank you for everything that you do for high school sports, Scott.
And best of luck to the Warriors and everybody else in the Metro Monday.
And
avoid the rain.
We want to extend that to all the Metro schools for sure.
All right. Well, that's going to wrap things up for the Coach's Corner here on this Saturday morning. And again, we've got Big Ten football later on at 2:30, Michigan taking on Northwestern. And then at 4 o'clock, 1600 will break away for Iowa State and TCU. We'll have that for you coming up at 4 o'clock with the pregame and just past 6 o'clock with the kickoff. Hope you enjoyed it. Scott Unash thanking you for listening to the Coach's Corner right here on KGYM. Have a great weekend.
When a player doesn't like a contract, what do?
They hold out?
They hold out for a better deal. If only you could.